because we're studying the first three kings, because the first king died last week, Saul. So we'll hear a little bit more about his offspring. But we're studying David now here in 2 Samuel chapter 1, which records for us David's reaction or response to the death of the king, King Saul. Oops, that's the wrong book. 2 Samuel chapter 1. So let's introduce it, Mr. Scott, if you could, and just read the first six verses.
Now it came to pass after the death of Saul, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Amalekites, and David had abode 2 days in Ziklag, it came even to pass on the third day that, behold, a man came out of the camp from Saul, with his clothes rent, and earth upon his head. And so it was, when he came to David, that he fell to the earth and did obedience. And David said unto him, From whence comest thou? And he said unto him, Out of the camp of Israel am I escaped. And David said unto him, How went the matter? I pray thee, tell me. And he answered, That the people are fled from the battle, and many of the people also are fallen and dead. And Saul and Jonathan his son are dead also. And David said unto the young man that told him, How knowest thou that Saul and Jonathan his son be dead? And the young man that told him said, As I happened by chance upon Mount Gilboa, behold, Saul leaned upon his spear, and lo, the chariots and the horsemen followed hard after him.
Amen. Let's pray. Lord, give us wisdom as we study your word. Guide us. And bless our service as we open your word together. May we honor you by learning from it. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. So why was David not around? Remember, David had gone to rescue his own family because God preserved him, remember? When the princes of the Philistines said, We don't want David to fight with us. God protected him from having to fight against his own people. And then when they went back to their city that had been allotted to them by the Philistines, Ziklag, remember their families had all been taken captive by the Amalekites. So David was off fighting the Amalekites while the Philistines were fighting Israel. And so David has returned from his battle. Israel lost their battle, and Saul and Jonathan died. And now David's starting to get news as to what happened while he was off fighting the Amalekites. So we'll carry on there, 7 and through 12, Howard, if you would read those for us.
And when he looked behind him, he saw me and called unto me, and I answered, Here am I. And he said unto me, Who art thou? And I answered him, I am an Amalekite. He said unto me again, Stand, I pray thee, upon me, and slay me, for anguish has come upon me, because my life is yet old in me. So I stood upon him, and slew him, because I was sure that he would not live after that he was fallen. And I took the crown that was upon his head, and the bracelet that was on his arm, and have brought them hither unto my lord. Then David took hold upon his clothes, and rent them, and likewise all the men that were with him. And they mourned, and wept, and fasted until evening, for Saul, and for Jonathan his son, and for the people of the Lord, and for the house of Israel, because they were all fallen by the sword.
So this Amalekite claims that he finished Saul off, that he was wounded. But we already read what happened to Saul. Is this how Saul died? An Amalekite killed him? No, Saul fell on his own sword, remember? So the Amalekite might have obviously did come across his body and took the crown and so forth, but he's trying to take credit. But it doesn't work out that way, as you'll see. So Brent, 13 down through 16.
And David said unto the young man that told him, Whence art thou? And he answered, I am the son of a stranger and an Amalekite. David said unto him, How wast thou not afraid forth thine hand to destroy the Lord's anointed? And David called one of the young men and said, Go near and fall upon him. And he smote him that he died. And David said unto him, Thy blood be upon thy head, for thy mouth hath testified against thee, saying, I have slain the Lord's anointed.
So it didn't work out so well for this Amalekite to boast that he killed Saul. David said, Based on your own words then, we will kill you for killing the Lord's anointed. So Saul is dead, Jonathan is dead, and now David will see his response and reaction. Any thoughts or questions up to this point? All right, so Mark, if you could read 17 to 27, that's quite a long passage. I'll pay you extra.
And David lament his lamentation over Saul and over Jonathan's son. Also he bade him teach the children of Judah the use of the bow. Behold, it is written in the book of Jesse, the beauty of Israel is slain upon the white places. How are the white fallen? Tell it not in Gath, publish it not in the streets of Ascalon, lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice, lest the daughters of the uncircumcised triumph. Yea, the mountains of Gibeah, let there be no dew, neither let there be rain on nor fields of offering, for there the shield of the mighty is vilely cast away, the shield of Saul, as though he had not been anointed with oil. From the blood of the slain, from the flesh of the mighty, the bow of Jonathan turned not back, and the sword of Saul returned not empty. Saul and Jonathan were lovely and pleasant in their lives, and in their death they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles, they were stronger than lions. Yea, daughters of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothed you in scarlet with other delights, who put on ornaments of gold upon your apparel. How are the mighty fallen in the midst of the battle? O Jonathan, thou wast slain in thine high place. I am distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant hast thou been unto me. Thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of woman. How are the mighty fallen, and the weapons of war perished.
So David and Jonathan, of course, were very, very close, very good friends, and David here honoring his king, who had fallen in battle. So what do we learn about David in seeing this lamentation, if you will? Remember, this is the same Saul that chased him for 3 years, through the mountains, through the caves. Do we learn anything about David here?
Just an observation there. I suppose another saying, you don't expect all the dead.
Yep. No, it doesn't say one negative thing about him. Even though Saul was very messed up at the end, wasn't he? David did not say a negative thing about him in his lamentation. Anything else? So we're learning a lot about David's character, aren't we, through this. Brent? Amen. So David now will become the king at 30 years old, like we observed, and then will be the king for 40 years. So all of this is up to his 30th birthday. He's still relatively young, but he's about to take over as the second king of Israel here in chapter 2. So verses 1 to 7, Brandon, if you could read those for us.
David went up to them, and his two wives also, dwelt in the cities of Hebron. And the men of Judah came, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. And they told David, saying, that the men of Jabesh Gilead were they that buried Saul. And David sent messengers unto the men of Jabesh Gilead, and said unto them, Blessed be ye of the Lord, that ye have showed this kindness unto your Lord, even unto Saul, and have buried him. And now the Lord show kindness and truth unto you, and I also will requite you this kindness, because ye have done this thing. Therefore now let your hands be strengthened, and be ye valiant, for your master Saul is dead, and also the house of Judah hath anointed king over you.
So David's not king of the whole nation yet. He's only the king of Judah, which is his tribe. And he only ruled in Jerusalem for the second 33 years of his 40. The first 7 years he ruled in Hebron, in Judah, because it's not finished yet. I misspoke last week. One son of Saul is still alive, and Abner's going to try to make him the new king of Israel, even though David's now the king of Judah. And so there's going to be a battle, a civil war over who the king is. This happened all the time in Bible days, Old Testament days. It was always about offspring. And Saul is not, David is not Saul's offspring, is he? And so Abner, as you'll see here, is about to attempt to make Saul's last remaining son, Ish-bosheth, the new king. But just to catch up, go to chapter 5, verse 4, and we'll see God summarizes David's reign into the two pieces. 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 4. It says, David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years. In Hebron, he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months, and in Jerusalem, he reigned 30 and 3 years over all Israel and Judah. So the first 7 years of David's reign, he reigned only over Judah in Hebron. It wasn't until 7 years later that he became the king of all of Israel as one nation. And we are reminded here that he was 30 when he began to reign. So that's where we get these numbers. All right, so back to chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. Abner now is going to try to make Saul's offspring the new king. So if you could read that for us, Kian, 8 to 11. So Ish-bosheth reigned for 2 years over Israel. That's Saul's son. And then they have a bit of a civil war, sadly. And that's chapter 2, verses 12 to 32. We're not going to read it all, but just to summarize, we have some battles against some generals. On both sides, we have some battles with the people, and Abner, who's the one who tried to make Saul the new king, and then Joab, who is David's top general, if you will, are constantly at odds with one another. So that brings us to chapter 3. Notice verse 1. Now there was long war between the house of Saul and the house of David. So this just dragged on. And it says, but David waxed stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul waxed weaker and weaker. And then we find out that David, in the course of this time that he was in Hebron, collected some more wives. So Cash, if you want to read that, verses 2 to 5 of chapter 3.
And unto David were sons born in Hebron. The firstborn was Amnon of Hinnom, the Jezreelites, and the second, Chileab or Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelites, and the third, Absalom, the son of Char, the daughter of Talmai, king of Jeshur, and the fourth, Adonijah, the son of Haggith, and the fifth, Shephetah, the son of Abital, and the sixth,
So now David has six wives. I would agree with you. They started with just the one. Well, technically two, but remember he lost Michal, Saul's daughter. Saul gave her to someone else. And so they was back down to one, but then he took Abigail, which made number two, and now he's added four more in the course of his time in Hebron. And if that's not enough, here in the rest of the chapter, he's going to now ask to get Michal back so he can have the even seven wives. So David, was collecting wives. So we need to read 6 through 11. Who can I pick on over here? A lot of my readers aren't here today. Nathan, you can do that for us, can't you? 6 to 11.
And it came to pass while there was war between the house of Saul and the house of David, that Abner made himself strong for the house of Saul. And Saul had a concubine whose name was Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah, and Ish-bosheth. He said to Abner, "Wherefore hast thou gone and asked my father's concubine?" Then was Abner very wroth for the words of Ish-bosheth, and said, "Am I a dog's head which against Judah do shew kindness this day unto the house of Saul thy father, to his brethren and to his friends, and have not delivered thee into the hand of David, that thou chargest me today with a fault concerning this woman? So do God to Abner, and more also, except as the Lord hath sworn to David, even so I do to him, translate the kingdom from the house of Saul, and to set up the throne of David over Israel and over Judah from Dan even to Beersheba." And he said, and he could not answer Abner a word again because he feared him.
So Saul's general Abner, who's the one who made him the king, the new king, they have a falling out, and Abner's response is to say, "Well, then I'm just going to go to David. I'm going to switch sides." And that's sure enough. Verse 12, he sent messengers to David, saying on his behalf, "Whose is the land?" Saying also, "Make thy league with me, and behold, my hand shall be with thee to bring about all Israel unto thee." So let's make an agreement, and I will help bring the rest of Israel over to you instead of Ish-bosheth being the king. And that's... So let's see what David's response is to that. So 13 through, well, first he deals with the Michal thing. So let's read that, 13 to 16. Mr. Scott, if you want to start us over there.
And he said, "Well, I will make a league with thee, but one thing I require of thee, that is, thou shalt not see my face, except thou first bring Michal, Saul's daughter, when thou comest to see my face." And David sent messages to Ish-bosheth, Saul's son, saying, "Deliver me my wife, Milcah, which I espoused to me for 100 foreskins of the Philistines." And Ish-bosheth sent and took her from her husband, even from Pelteel, son of Laish. And her husband went with her along, weeping behind her. And Bahurim then said, "Abner."
So David sent to the king of Israel as the king of Judah and said, "I want my wife back." and Ishbosheth said, okay, ripped her away from her new husband and sent her to David. And Abner, of course, said, stop this weeping, just get back home. And of course, Abner was a great general, and he knew that if he didn't listen, he would die. And so now David's seventh wife is Michal, who was his first wife, of course. So let's see what happens next, 17 down through 21, Mr. Sharp.
And Abner had communication with the elders of Israel, saying, you sought for David in times past to be king over you. Now then do it. For the Lord had spoken of David, saying, by the hand of my servant David, I will save my people Israel out of the hand of the Philistines and out of the hand of all their enemies. And Abner also spoke in the ears of Benjamin. And Abner went also to speak in the ears of David and Hebron, all that seemed good of Israel, and that seemed good to the whole house of Benjamin. So Abner came to David to Hebron, and 20 men with him, and David made Abner and the men that were with him a feast. And Abner said unto David, I will arise and go and gather all Israel upon my lord the king, that they may make a liege with thee, and that thou mayest reign over all that thine heart desire. David
said,
Abner away, and
he went in peace. So Abner has made an agreement with David that he's going to go and bring Israel back, or bring Israel to David. Ishbosheth is still the king of Israel now. He's the last remaining son of Saul. And David is the king of Judah. But people are slowly transferring their allegiances from Israel from Ishbosheth to David. So why? Why? We already know David was anointed years ago by Samuel to be the king of Israel, all of the nations. So why this 7 years of strife before he actually becomes the king of all of Israel? Anybody? Why can't he just be the king of Israel? Why does he have to go through all of this drama? Tanya? Just more trials to prepare him, to refine him for what's to come. Anything else? But just like with being chased by Saul, he's already been chosen by God himself through Samuel way back, remember? And yet he had to go through all of these trials. First with Saul, and now these first 7 years, people challenging his kingship. Diane? Well, that's the goal, isn't it? Is that they be one nation, which they were under Saul initially. But the goal is that they be one nation again. And that's what Abner's going to try to do. But that's not how it works out. Just to summarize what happens, Joab, who is David's general, he kills Abner because he doesn't trust him. He thinks that he is two-faced or double-tongued. And so he secretly sets up a meeting with his young men and Abner's young men, and Joab, David's general, kills Abner. And when it happened, David wasn't too happy about it. And David actually brings it up almost 40 years later, when Solomon becomes the king. He reminds him, remember what Abner did? Or remember what Joab did? Make sure he gets punished for it. So David essentially said Joab did the wrong thing by killing Abner. And so what comes next is the murder of the king of Israel. So Brent, if you could go to chapter 4 for us. And do 1 to 12.
And when Saul's son heard that Abner was dead in Hebron, his hands were feeble, and all the Israelites were troubled. And Saul's son had two men that were captains of bands, the one of the name, The name of the one was Baana, and the name of the other Rechab, the sons of Rimmon and Beerothite of the children of Benjamin. Beeroth also was reckoned to Benjamin, and the Beerothites fled to Gittaim and were sojourners there unto this day. And Jonathan saw Saul, and Saul that was lame of his feet. He was 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel. And his nurse took him up and fled, and it came to pass, as she made haste to flee, that he fell and became lame, and his name was Mephibosheth. And the sons of Rimmon, the Beerothite, Rechab, and Baana, went and came about the heat of the day in the house of Mephibosheth, who lay on a bed at noon. And they came thither into the midst of the house, as though they would have fed wheat, and they smote him under the fifth rib, and Rechab and Baana, his brother, escaped. But when they came into the house, he lay on his bed in his bedchamber, and they smote him, and slew him, and beheaded him, and took his head, and gat them away through the plain all night. And they brought the head of Ish-bosheth unto David the Hebron, and said to the king, Behold the head of Ish-bosheth, the son of Saul, thine enemy, which sought thy life, and the son of the Lord hath avenged my lord the king this day of Saul, and of his seed. And David answered Rechab and Baana his brother, the sons of Rimmon the Beerothite, and said unto them, As the Lord liveth, who hath redeemed my soul out of all adversity, when one told me, saying, Behold, Saul is dead, thinking to have brought good tidings, I took hold of him and slew him in Ziklag, who thought that I would have given him a reward for his tidings. How much more, when wicked men have slain a righteous person in his own house upon his bed, shall I not therefore now require his blood at your hand, and take you away from the earth? And David commanded his young men, and they slew them, and cut off their hands and their feet, and hanged them up over the pool in heaven. But they took the head of Ish-bosheth and buried it in the sepulchre of Abner in Hebron.
So this is the second time that people have come to David, having killed the king, thinking that David would reward them, and he rewarded them with death. So these two men who were essentially the replacement leaders of the army, now that, remember, he lost Abner to David, thought, surely if we kill Ish-bosheth, David will be so happy. Didn't work out that way, did it? So again, what do we learn about David here? Is he being patient? He is, isn't he? He knows what God's already ordained him for. And, you know, Samuel's already poured the oil on his head years ago. You're going to be the king of all of Israel. But David isn't pushing it. David isn't forcing it to happen, is he? He's just waiting. So he waited 7 years before he became the official king of all of Israel. And these men who thought to take matters into their own hands and murder the king of Israel, it didn't work out the way they thought it would, did it? They earned themselves the sword. But finally, here in chapter 5, David does become the king of all of Israel. So verses 1 to 3, Mr. Zeus, if you would read those. Of chapter 5.
Then came all the tribes of Israel to David unto Hebron, and spake, saying, Behold, we are the bone of and thy flesh, and in time past, when Saul was king over us, there was he that led us out in the waters of Israel. And the Lord said to thee, Thou hast fed my people Israel, and thou shalt be a captain over Israel. So all the elders of Israel came to the king, to Hebron, and King David had a league with him in Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel.
So now that Ish-bosheth is gone, all the leaders come to David and say, We are willing to allege ourselves to you. You are now our king. And let's go to 1 Chronicles chapter 12, and we'll see how many men, because remember, the strength of any country in those days was the strength of its army. That's just the reality of it. It wasn't how much money they had, it was how many soldiers they had. Because there's going to be wars, there were always wars, And so that was always the measure of the strength of any country, was how strong its army was. And here in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, down in verse 23, and these are the numbers of the bands that were ready armed to the war and came to David in Hebron to turn the kingdom of Saul to him according to the word of the Lord. And then it summarizes of each of the 12 tribes how many soldiers came. There were 6,800 from Judah. But I'm trying to remember if it lists the total. Verse 38. All these men of war that could keep rank came with a perfect heart to Hebron to make David king over all Israel, and all the rest also of Israel were of one heart to make David king. And there they were with David 3 days, eating and drinking, for their brethren had prepared for them. Moreover, they that were nigh them, even unto Issachar and Zebulun and Naphtali, brought bread on asses and on camels and on mules and on oxen and meat, meal, cakes of figs and bunches of raisins and wine and oil and oxen and sheep abundantly, and there was joy in Israel. So I have done the math, 340,000 soldiers. Plus some a bit came to make David king. So now he has an army of 340,000. That's a good sized army, isn't it? And he is now the official king over all of Israel. And notice that last phrase there in verse 40. There was joy in Israel. David is finally their king. They're one. They're all together. And 340,000 soldiers have said, we're now your soldiers to command, David. So thoughts or questions?
What kind of Bathsheba?
Oh, she's not in the story yet. We'll get there.
I'm just wondering.
Yeah, we'll get there. A couple weeks. Anybody? Thoughts or questions? So have we learned anything about David today? Anybody? What's that?
He is a patient man.
Yes, he showed a lot of patience, didn't he?
That is a fine virtue to have.
We've already seen that he's a man of honor and trust in the Lord despite attacks and trials. And now we see that he was also willing to just wait on the Lord. How many times are we told in the scriptures to do that? Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. And so forth. David just waited. He knew what God's plan was. He knew that he had already been anointed by Samuel. But he didn't force it. He didn't kill Saul. He didn't kill Ishbosheth. They got killed, but David didn't do it by his own hand. David waited. And now David is the king over all of Israel in Hebron. But his headquarters is about to get moved to a place you've probably heard of. Jerusalem. Amen? That'll happen next week. Thoughts or questions before we close in prayer? Anybody?